So this week you have grad celebration. Why? Oh, I asked it first. I asked why first. I suspect if I talk to you, you would say we do it to honor our grads. Again, I'm going to be persnickety this morning. What do you mean by honor your grads? What I suspect you mean is that you recognize that they have reached an important stage in their life, and you want to recognize that up to that time, they have done a lot, they've graduated, and so you want to acknowledge their contribution. Okay, so my computer isn't working this morning. Oh, okay, we're in business. So the first meaning of the word honor is to recognize that a point has been reached in someone's life and we honor it. We acknowledge that something special has happened in that individual's life. Earlier this morning, they celebrated a lady's birthday, and they honored her by having a cake. So that's the first meaning of the word honor. We recognize that something important has happened to them. Now, the second meaning of the word honor, because it's a word that we don't very often use. Come November the 11th, we honor those who fought in wars. We honor those who made the great sacrifice by giving their lives in that war. In Edmonton, we put poppies on the graves of all the veterans. What do we do by that? We thank them for giving their lives for fighting in a war. So the second meaning of the word honor is to say thank you. We really appreciate what you did for us. Now, the third meaning that we use of the word honor. Go back a little bit in your lives to your wedding service. Do you remember that? For Diana and I, it's going to be 50 years ago next week. And so what do we mean? So that reminds you of one of the words or phrases that come out of the wedding ceremony. Love, honor, and obey. What do we mean by honor within a marriage? It's certainly different than love. We respect one another. We're not always going to get along. We're not going to cross the T everywhere in the same position and dot the I. But we honor one another's contribution to the success and well-being of the family. So those are the meanings of the word honor that we have today. So let's read a passage in the Bible that talks about honor. It's Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read a couple of verses there. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. By the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think yourself as more highly than you ought, but rather to think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is in serving, then serve. If it is in teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is given, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. We'll finish the reading there. So here's one of the biblical meanings or the biblical texts in which the word honor is used. So let's go back and look at the use of the word honor. Fifth commandment. Honor father and mother. It's said by Paul that it's the first commandment with a promise. In other words, it's the only one actually with a promise. So it's got to be something special. What does it mean to honor mom and dad? Does it mean that it doesn't matter how old they are, I'm still to listen to exactly what they say and I'm to obey them in everything I do? Is that what honor mom and dad mean? I don't think so. The word honor there means give weight to, give respect to. And so when the text says honor mom and dad, what it is saying is give respect to mom and dad. They may not be the best mom and dad in the world, but they're your mom and dad. And so you should honor them. Give respect to them. They brought you into the world. They brought you up. They spent time and money on you. Honor them for that. Give weight to them. Think about what they have to say. Now, the second meaning of the word honor that we find is found in 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says, honor the emperor. And I'm sure when Peter wrote that letter, the people who first read it thought, Peter, are you sure? Are you sure when you say honor the emperor? Because the emperor at that time was a man named Nero. Nero was certifiably crazy. He was a complete and utter nutcase. That's the kindest words we can say about him. In fact, he was so bad, so crazy, that they deposed him in AD 68 and he was assassinated in AD 69. But when Nero was the emperor, his specialty was dipping Christians in oil, putting them in a pole, lighting them on fire, and using it as public street lighting, particularly in the big place called Circus Maximus, which was the racetrack. So when Peter writes in 1 Peter about the fiery trial, he quite literally means a fiery trial. Christians were being used as public lighting. So imagine these people who are Christians who see the phrase, honor the emperor. Does that mean I have to honor that crazy Nero? Does it? If you lived in Rome, and you knew that there was a possibility that you were going to get dipped in oil and used for street lighting, how would you think about honor the emperor? Now, I know in a modern day sense, people may say that about Justin Trudeau. You honor Justin Trudeau? You're crazy. What does it mean? Well, what it means is, yes, they have a position. The position is one that we may not always agree with. But it's one that, because it is God ordained as an emperor, that we follow them. We obey them. We pray for them. We ask that God will direct them and guide them. We honor them by listening to what they have to say, even though they disagree with it. We honor them by praying for them on a daily basis. So that's the second meaning that's used of in the Bible about the word honor. Now the third meaning comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2. And there Paul is talking about church leaders. And he says, honor those who work among you. In other words, honor church leadership. Now, having been in church leadership, I'm going to be very honest with you. It's one of the toughest jobs I've ever handled. Because it doesn't matter what you do or what you say, someone is not going to agree with you. It's impossible to get agreement in a congregation where everybody agrees. In fact, I suspect when you have lunch today, preacher is going to be on the lunch as to what he said. And so it becomes very difficult to actually be a church leader. You're going to face criticism wherever you go, whatever you do. So I would encourage the leadership here, and I would encourage you as a church that you respond to the leadership. You honor the leadership. They have a difficult task. It's not easy, and it's becoming more difficult. And so we honor the leadership. We pray for them. We listen to what they have to say. We respect the amount of work that they do. We acknowledge the amount of work that they do. And we thank God for them. And we pray for them. So that's the word honor that's used. Many, couple of different meanings, both in our society and in the Bible. So when the text says here, honor one another, what does it mean? Well, it means that in this church, there are people with different abilities, different gifts, different ideas, different ways of operating. And it's a way that I may not necessarily agree with, but I am respectful of your difference of opinion. I honor you. I honor those among you who work hard in teaching Sunday school, in administrating the church, who preach in the church, who run Sunday school. I honor you. And the congregation, too, here should honor those who work within the congregation. So we honor those with whom we serve in the congregation. So now the second word, the word serve. So I want you to go back to that having that lime and raspberry cake out in the Iwana room there. So let's go through the whole process, okay? So I looked and I said, boy, this cake looks good. So I reached out for it, and in my hand, I picked up the cake. I took a fork, I broke the cake, lifted it to my mouth, put it in my mouth, and said, boy, this is good. My salivary glands started to work and to break up that cake. My taste glands got into action and said, boy, this is good cake. And so the whole process of enjoying that cake is a combination of many parts, of many different things. It involves seeing it, breaking it, lifting it, putting it in our mouths, chewing it with our teeth, getting our salivary glands to operate, getting our taste buds to taste. There's all these different things come into part just to eat a piece of cake. That's a lot. A real lot. Now let's assume for one moment, we'll be a bit absurd here. The hand looks and says, you know what? I don't like lemon and raspberry cake. In fact, I'm not going to lift it up. It can stay there. How absurd. How ridiculous. Of course, the hand is involved. It's part of the whole process of eating. You may think, well, how does the nose take part in something like picking up and eating lemon raspberry cake? Well, if you close your nose like this and eat, you will not taste anything. You have kids that don't like Brussels sprouts or some other food like that. Well, the way to get them to eat is close their nose and put it in. Works every time, guaranteed. So even though they are in that whole process of eating, every part is necessary in order for that process to go through. We need eyes to see what it is. We need fingers to pick up the fork. We need hands to pick up, to hold the plate. We need arms to lift the plate up. Everything is necessary for us to eat that piece of cake. Now in the church, Paul, as he speaks, has word pictures. Jesus, when he spoke in parables. He told stories about the countryside, about farmers planting, about birds, about other animals. Jesus was essentially what we would call today a country boy. He came from a small town. The stories and parables he told are from the country. Now, Paul's a lot different. Paul's a big city boy. He comes from a big city called Tarsus. And so when Paul talks about things, he uses no parables whatsoever. He uses something that we call word pictures. He describes the Christian, for example, as being an athlete, of being a boxer, of being a wrestler, of being a runner. He talks about the church as being a building in which all the windows, all the door frames, all the frames have to fit together in order to form a building. Now, Paul's other big picture of the church is a body. And that's why I use that picture of the body, is because Paul comes over time and time again with this picture of the Christian church being a body. And in the body, we have all these different pieces that serve one another, but also serve the church in general. So the second part of the sermon is talking about serving one another. So you say, okay, that sounds good, Trevor, but basically, I don't have any talent. Rubbish. Nonsense. You look at the talents that are talked about in Romans chapter 12. Showing mercy, that is, helping people just by listening to them. A talent listed along with preaching. Listing along with other big, big talents. Paul says just being kind. Just listening to somebody. Just sharing their burden is something that is a talent that comes from God. And in the Christian church, we need all these different abilities. And so the first problem is we look and we say, I don't have one. I'm not going to let you get away with that. You have an ability. You have a talent. And just like every part of this body is necessary for it to function and grow in life, it is absolutely necessary that every member of this congregation contribute. It doesn't matter what ability you have. You have it, use it. Now, the second part of the problem is, Paul mentions it here, is that we think we're the only ones who can do the job. That nobody could possibly do the job that we're doing. And Paul says, rubbish. Nonsense. Don't get too big a head in serving Christ. Use what you have humbly. Use the talent in Christ's service. Use the talent in serving one another in the church. But never get a big head about it. It's God has given you the talent. God has given you the ability. Use it to his praise and glory. So we come this morning. I was asked to speak on honor and serve. It's important for us in the church to do both. We honor one another, we serve one another. We honor one another by thanking God for every person in the congregation. We honor them by thanking God for them. We honor them by listening to what they have to say, to try and involve them in the church in some way. And in the church, every one of you has an ability. Every one of you needs to serve someone else, the whole congregation, in order that the church can grow. If we don't work together, if we don't all contribute together, the church will not grow properly. It needs every one of us to chip in our 2 cents worth in helping and serving one another. Because if we do that, this church will grow. This church will expand. It will be a place where people say, that's the church to go to, because they care for one another, they love one another, they honor one another, they serve one another. It's a church I want to be involved in. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that in this church there are many different people. We come from different backgrounds. We have different abilities. We have different gifts. We work in different places. And I thank you, Lord, we're not all the same. And we pray that we may use those differences, those gifts, those abilities, those talents in your glory and for your praise. Lord, help us to discover what you want us to do in the church so that this church will grow into a body that is fully functional, where everybody chips in, where everybody works, where everybody contributes, so that your word will go forward in power and your name will be glorified and praised. Amen.